Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Alex Cohen.
Kimber looked sharp most of the time. He did give up one home run on Saturday when he pitched back-to-back, but he just seemed like he was comfortable with his body. He was ready to let it loose. First four fastballs were 95 miles per hour. Then he went 94. Then he went 96. It was 95 the rest of the way. The first curveball he threw was to a right-handed hitter. It landed in the left-hand hitting batter's box, and the guy swung anyway. It was just nasty. And he looked like the Craig Kimbrel who has averaged 14.5 strikeouts for 9 innings over the course of his career. He looks sharp. 1-2-3 inning to finish your game. I think Cubs fans get used to seeing that.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Len Casper, TV voice of the Cubs at 10:20. Midday, midway at 10:40. Jed Hoyer, Cubs executive VP and general manager at 11, and surprises along the way as well. What's our phone number? 312-644-6767. You email us at bernsteinandmcknight@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or a sext, intended or wayward, we don't care. You go to 67011, and when you send something, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Anchored down Commodores, Vanderbilt World Series, College World Series champions, Kumar Rocker, first round draft pick. Great run by Michigan. Nice little thing.
Great story.
One of the last ones in, the second to, I mean, that's a hell of a thing, but man, is that Vandy team good. Woo.
When you download the app, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. We also have a video feed. Brian Gertsch directs that, and there's cameras that show us here, and you can watch us at watch670thescore.com.
Yes, you can.
And at Facebook Live. The producers are Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the man in the back doing what he does, the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz. This remains an immensely frustrating time to be watching the Cubs. Everything feels kind of attenuated and tense.
It really is. I look at last night's game, and before we even get to the Yu Darvish stuff, and oh, believe me, we're going to get to the Yu Darvish stuff. It's the offense that frustrates me more than anything else, because essentially, you've got three solo shots last night. I know Wilson Contreras hit himself a triple, but an RBI ground out gets him in. That ball could have gone. A little wind maybe knocks it down. Who knows? Essentially, what you're looking at are three long fly balls that score your runs. Notably, on each of those long fly balls, how many Cubs were on base?
Not enough.
None of the Cubs were on base for those. And that's not how this offense is supposed to function. And, you know, whether you want to look at on base percentages or opposite field slugging percentages, you got to have bodies. You got to have bodies on the base pads. And when you don't, when you're trying to get yourself through times of struggle like this, and by the way, it's time of struggle for just about every NL Central team. The Reds have lost four straight after winning six in a row. The Brewers are 3-9 in their last, what would that be, 12 games? And then the Cardinals lost three in a row for sure. They've all given the Cubs a chance to pick up two, three, even four games in the last week or so, and they just haven't been able to do it. That's frustrating. Missed opportunities are frustrating. And when you're missing some of those, when you don't have men on base the way the Cubs didn't last night and haven't for the bulk of the last 10 days or so, so it seems, so it feels, you cannot have mistakes around the edges. You cannot have base running mistakes like you had two nights ago. You cannot have Wilson Contreras not going down to block a baseball that was not in the dirt that leads to an extra run. You can't afford those kind of things.
Indifferent fielding.
It's been sloppy.
And even if it's not a charged error, the idea of not cutting off not, or allowing a guy to get an extra base on a throw that goes through or not being able to turn a double play, just giving another team more opportunities, it's tighter. Tighten it up. Tighten everything up.
It has to be done. And I don't, at some point, you have asked all you can from the guys on the 25-man roster. You get Kimbrel back, and really yesterday's start by Yu Darvish's standards, and I know it irks Cubs fans, and I don't mean to do it to you to kind of put a sliding scale on Yu Darvish, but let's be honest. The man's on a sliding scale. I mean, every start is at least from my perspective, every start is its own thing. There doesn't seem to be any sort of connectedness from one start to another. There was a decent run of about five, but nothing seems to stay, and whether that's because the guy has nine pitches or whether it's because he can't keep his own noggin in his own brain inside his noggin, I don't know what it is, but it's frustrating. It's very frustrating, and he will remain frustrating start to start to start.
Unless all of a sudden a light turns on, or Borzello and everybody in the magic pitching lab can determine what it is he should be doing and how he should be doing it.
How long does the light stay on, though? The guy's like a whack-a-mole machine. Every time you think you've got everything tapped down, the next two or three problems pop up, you know? I mean, it's like a Looney Tunes cartoon. There's nothing you do that actually fixes the issue. It's just one comical fix after the other that leads the next leak to go.
This segment's brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're off and running with live racing and entertainment at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Friday is country night, and Saturday is bacon, beer, and bloodies. Need they say more? Visit arlingtonpark.com for details and VIP experiences. It's a difficult watch. It is, you know, the expectations that were laid out by the Cubs themselves. The idea, if we go back to the watchwords of this season, the watchwords of urgency, of everything mattering, and the idea that production means more than reputation and name. Theo Epstein said it, and we knew the guys he was talking about. We knew all these first-round picks, all these spots that he had, too few spots for too many guys that this team has invested in. And he said it's going to be about production. Well, there's a lot of guys who aren't producing.
Ideally, urgency means you've got guys on the bench or nominally on the bench pushing for playing time. That hasn't happened this season. Daniel Descalso has been very bad after a good first 3 weeks. Addison Russell has been very bad. It's not been there for him. Albert Almora Jr., as good as he is defensively and as solid as he can be, He's not been an offensive player, and whether that's because they've had to sacrifice some development for winning some games over the last 4 years or not, at this point, you don't have the production from some of those bench guys to force urgency. So, question becomes, can you invent some of that urgency yourself if you're a front office? Are there guys from within your own system that need to get called up, that need looks, if nothing else, to roll the dice one more time? Are there trades that you can make now that roll the dice one more time and add some production in? I know that they're going to end up looking for bullpen help. Every team in their position does. But offensively, you know, Joe Maddon has been frustrated with the results. Maybe not the approach. Very happy with the opposite field slugging percentage, and it should be. I believe it still leads baseball if the Astros haven't taken that over like they've taken over everything else in Major League Baseball. But that's a good sign. It's just when you roll into an NL leading 64 double plays in a season so far, you erase some of the good work that you've done. You've got to get the ball lifted a little bit more.
Listening to Joe Maddon, it is clear that he is as frustrated as he's been. The terms that he's using, the number of times he's repeating the mantra of "we have to get better." When you hear him like that, coming from Joe, as upbeat as he's always been, that's pretty serious stuff. That's a pretty serious understanding of that he's seeing what we're seeing. We should hear some more from him. Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October.
There's an expectation put on the team, and over again, it's been brought up. We've got Jed Hoyer on at 11 o'clock, and there are some fair questions to ask about what this offense can look like if it's rejiggered a little bit, as you said during transition with David and Luke Kanellis and from Molly. There's a question of what more can be done with an offense that's been as top-heavy as the Cubs have. It's a good thing that Wilson Contreras is hitting the way he is. It's a good thing that Javi Baez has shown a little bit of power, even though the struggles have been pretty prominent over the last 3 weeks. Joe's mentioned, actually, Joe was on with Lawrence yesterday. Joe Madden was on with Lawrence yesterday, and he mentioned the fact that this offense has been the thing he sees as, I believe he called it a variable in this season. Have a listen.
We have so much offensive talent, and there's some. We got to figure out a way how to win a game like last night somehow late. We had opportunities; it didn't manifest itself. But I think the real run comes through the offense. I think we were able to play pitch defense, bullpen. We had a base running gap last night, but overall, I think all that stuff is in place. The consistency from the offense is really going to permit the run.
Joe Madden with Lawrence Holmes yesterday, when he says last night's game, he's talking about two nights ago, what with the base running mistake, Wilson Contreras taking off late from second, getting tossed out at third. That was the Anbert Alzolay bunt thing that didn't go well for them and a bad decision that really hit him three times overall. That's what this is. I mean, if the manager's looking at your offense saying, this is our variable, this is the thing that we need to get a little bit more sorted out, then he's probably right. I mean, because Craig Kimbrell comes up today, and like you say, he's more than likely available. I mean, you don't call the guy up if he can't throw a couple of pitches, especially with where the bullpen's at. But as he slots in, as Carl Edward Jr.'s come back, that rotation kind of evens itself out one way or another. That's something of a constant for them. It might not be as good as you'd hope it to be, but it is something of a constant. The offense has not been.
And to simplify things, in baseball now, the best way to fix your offense is to hit the ball over the fence with people on base. High on base percentage, high slugging percentage, score a ton of runs, win a lot of games, ball go far, team go far. Who do you think are the top three MLB teams in weighted runs created plus, which is the catch-all offensive statistic, the single best offensive statistic? Any point over 100 is a percentage above league average at the time, and anything under 100 is below average at the time.
I'm going to go with the Dodgers.
Dodgers are third with a team WRC plus of 114.
The Astros?
The Astros are the best offensive team in baseball with a team WRC plus of 119. Who is in between the Astros and the Dodgers?
Give me the Twins.
Yep, you got it. The Twins are at 118. Those are your top three. Astros, Twins, Dodgers.
And are the Yankees fourth?
The Yankees are fifth.
Ah.
The Mariners are fourth. But what do these teams have in common? What do they have in common? The Astros, 131 homers. The Twins, 149 homers. The Dodgers, 131 homers. Mariners, 145 home runs. The Yankees, 134. This is how you score.
Do if you wanted to, I don't know which page you're on or what sort you're in, but if you wanted to sort by ground ball rate for the offenses, I think you would find the Cubs much higher on that list than you'd like. I checked it this morning. It's 47.1%. That's their ground ball rate. That is second in Major League Baseball. It's too many balls on the ground.
The Marlins are first at 49.9%. That's a great catch on your part. The White Sox are third at 46.9%.
Are they really?
It is what you talk about. The idea of hitting into double plays, well, what's that a function of? Hitting into a lot of double plays means you've got guys on base.
Yeah, it's not slow runners. It's
right.
Not. I mean, that can't help your ground ball rate, let's be honest.
It means you have guys on base and you're hitting too many ground balls.
But it is. It's what that is. I mean, you saw it last night. You hit into too many double plays. Chris Bryant rolls one over despite the home run that he had last night. What's that? His third in June, I think.
Correct.
In back-to-back days or back-to-back games for Bryant. I think he sat out the one in between and then he had the one last night. But, you know, it's weird. Bryant has been such a force for this offense at different points in his career. A rookie of the year, an MVP. The launch angle is there. The exit velo is there. And yet, for whatever reason, the production just hasn't been over the last month, month and a half or so. I know you took a look at Bryant in your column on 670thescore.com yesterday, mm-hmm. and it seems like things check out for one of the best third basemen in baseball, like top three kind of guy, a guy that can win you an MVP on a good team with a bunch of hitters, a couple of hitters around him. You've proven that before. And yet, that's where you stand.
His actual overall numbers this year are right in line with his career numbers. They are right in line. And even though he's had peaks and valleys to get to those averages, all of his rate stats are fine. His launch angle's fine.
Mm-hmm.
His exit velocity is fine. There have just been too many times, and we've had this debate about clutch and about situations. There have just been too many individual times up and down this roster where guys have not been able to remain themselves in more important situations.
Well, and this is where you bet on the long term, right? If you're the front office, you're saying Chris Bryant, over the course of the season with those kind of numbers, those kind of swing paths and exit velocities and all that stuff, you bet on that to be the kind of player that he's been in the past. The question then comes, and it's going to come to the front office, and we'll ask it of Jed Hoyer at 11. The question's going to come, and it's, do the pieces around the guy that you're convinced is real good, not just Bryant, but Wilson Contreras and Baez and Rizzo, you know, those four dudes, do the pieces around him need to be altered some? Do the guys, do the other dudes on base, the extra points on the scoreboard, do they need to be changed around some?
Well, this texter for the 412 says, if you want to get a bunch of people on base and then hit home runs, you're going to need new players. Well, then explain to me how the Cubs are top 10 in on-base percentage and top 10 in home runs.
A lot of walks from Wilson Contreras and Javi Baez.
I'm just saying. They do. They get on base and they hit home runs.
They do.
They're still not doing it enough.
That's the second highest ground ball rate in baseball. It's too many of them. I mean, it's just too many.
This is Fred in Elgin on the score.
Yes. Good morning. To address the point about the Cubs' ability to get runners on base, but as we know, we continue to struggle to get runners. To score, and our speed is somewhat lacking in the base paths. I'm curious on the whole idea of the small ball, specifically a couple nights ago. We had runners in first and second. Bryant was coming up. We know he struggles right now with getting the launch angle up.
No, his launch angle's fine.
His launch angle's fine, but his ability to hit into the double play obviously has been a concern, and I would have loved to have seen a bunt.
Oh, God, you're bunting with Chris Bryant with two runners on? You're fired.
No, thank you.
Yeah, you're fired.
And I get it 100%, but in that situation, Chris Bryant hasn't shown that. I would love to see the bunt second, third.
If you would like to see a bunt from Chris Bryant with runners on base, you are fired.
Then we will continue to struggle, I think. I'll listen to your response. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, how does...
Let's make it out on purpose.
How does him bunting help him hit the next homer?
Yeah, that's...
You know, carry it down to the next step. Like, even if you get the run across that time with a well-placed bunt or hitting it away from the shift or what have you, with runners on, if they're even shifting, how does that help you hit the next home run?
Yeah,
because that's what you're going to lay down another bunt in the next situation with Chris Bryant. Then you've taken the bat out of his hands twice. That's not an offensive strategy.
That's 30 more seconds than you should have spent on that. Dave is in Kenosha. He's on the score.
Hi guys. Good morning.
Morning.
I was curious about your thoughts on how they're pitching the Cubs, how the opponents are pitching the Cubs with their lack of ability to get timely hits, and you know, you're talking about launch angle and everything else. Isn't there a propensity to hit, get over the top on balls that are low in the zone, and hit into double plays?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
The way swings are shaped right now, it's the low balls that can even they hit higher.
Usually get lifted. It's kind of a... Joe talked about it a little bit last night and a little bit with Lawrence yesterday. It's kind of a rollover situation, and that can happen a little bit with, you know, kind of something that's coming in on the hands a little bit, or even a breaking ball that's kind of away, you know, as the right-hander starts to reach out and, you know, a little bit too much top hand kind of thing. I think the Cubs suffer from something that a lot of quote-unquote launch angle teams suffer from, and that's a diagnosis by pitching staffs of throwing a bunch of high fastballs. I mean, that's kind of what it feels like. That's where your strikeouts come from, and that's where your non-productive at-bats can land. I don't necessarily think strikeouts are a terrible thing. Certainly they're not great. But if that's the cost of hitting a bunch of home runs and being on base as much as they are, I'll take that. You just can't have the ground balls that come with it. And you can't have a one-third of the lineup that doesn't fight and doesn't produce as much as you asked them to this offseason.
This segment is brought to you by ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric.
Got some more from Joe Maddon to get to. There's some questions around the Cubs offense, but Craig Kimbrell has been called up. Want to know if Cubs fans believe that that's something that's going to push them over an edge. Maybe it's a shot in the arm. Certainly, I got a number for you when we come back about how to use Craig Kimbrell, where he'll be used, and how often, perhaps, he can get the Cubs to that extra win. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670, The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, it'd be great. We got him here. We know why he's here. He knows why he's here. And he picked us, and you know, we want to make it worth it for him.
Cubs outfielder Jason Hayward talking about the addition of Craig Kimbrell. Hayward and Kimbrell played together once a very, very long time ago. Well, a couple of times, I suppose, but a long time ago with the
Myrtle Beach Pelicans.
The Myrtle Beach Pelicans, yeah.
The team.
Hayward was a 19-year-old call-up to the High A team. Kimbrell threw, I think it's like four innings or something like that. But they were there for the playoff run for Rocket Wheelers, Myrtle Beach Pelicans. Hell of a ball club that was. Hayward, instrumental, it seems. Well, maybe not instrumental. The money probably had something to do with it. But certainly helpful in getting Craig Kimbrell there. Did you, Gordon Whitmire, the esteemed beat writer for the Chicago Sun-Times, covers the Cubs, was on with Mully and Haw earlier this morning. Luke Kanellis in for Mike Mulligan. Did you hear what his little stat in June for the Cubs in terms of how many times they've had the lead when Kimbrell could have mattered? Six.
Wow.
Six times in the month of June have the Cubs been in a situation where Craig Kimbrell or any other reliever could have had a save opportunity.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
Thank you, Mike. That is not enough when it comes to the opportunities in front of the Cubs. I mentioned the relative struggles of the Milwaukee Brewers. They seem to be a Christian Yelich or bust kind of team at 3-9 over their last 12. The Cardinals have lost a handful. The Reds are a pretty decent team in terms of run differential. They've lost four straight. This was an opportunity. This last 10 days has been an opportunity for the Cubs to pick up or gain ground. It's really spread themselves out from the rest of the National League Central and maybe just give you a little bit of buffer in case things get worse. Because, I mean, theoretically they could. Injuries are right around the corner. You saw how the White Sox are dealing with both Yoan Moncada and Tim Anderson out now for a little while. That'll make them an interesting team to watch. But what's at the heart of this matter, at least if you listen to the manager of the club itself, Joe Maddon, is the offense. And it's a lack of consistency. It's too many ground balls. And in Joe's estimation, it's rolling stuff over for double plays. He talked about that last night after another loss to the Braves.
Where we're getting in trouble is rollover ground balls in those moments. And, you know, Keuchel, that's how he lives. And of course, we're prepared to not do that, but it's easier said than done. But, I sound like a broken record. I mean, we need to get better at this, period. And good at-bats for the most part. We get guys out there. And then once we do, we might get in a little bit of a hurry. And I think that's what leads to these quick endings to these potential rallies. So, got to get better at that, but again, did work a lot of good at-bats, did a lot of good things. They got us, again, in a close game. I thought our bullpen was really good.
And thanks, pitch well. You know, I mean, it's when your manager feels like he's the broken record, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, hearing Joe like that, really think about it. We've been around, he's been around us, we've been around him, we've spent enough time on the air, off the air, hearing from him. This is a about as frustrated publicly as you're going to hear. I sound like a broken record. We have to be better. And they're in first place. I mean, that's
and,
the thing.
And they're in first
and
place.
And they're in first place.
Meanwhile, they're in first place. I think it's still a tough division, relative struggles included, with every team involved that we mentioned coming out of the break here. But, you know, they're floating by this stretch. And they've got an opportunity. Well, we've got Jed Hoyer coming up at 11, the general manager of the club. And I think the question to him, or at least one of the biggest ones, is how do you invoke urgency without seeming desperate on June 27th? I mean, because you don't want to make drastic decisions just for the sake of making decisions. You are still a first-place ball club with potential MVP candidates dotting the first four spots or the biggest four spots in your lineup. And yet, this is an exasperating offense at times.
These struggles bring out texters from odd and interesting places. The 309 says, how about Darvish out of the bullpen? The 331, change the lineup. Put the hitters ahead of Rizzo and Contreras. And this
says, put more outs in front of Contreras and Rizzo.
Yeah, it says 630, Cubs need to package Schwarber and Happ to some American League team for a speedy outfielder. You guys need to figure that out. That text apparently from 1974.
A speedy outfielder? Yes. They want Vince Coleman?
Yeah, they want Terrence Gore.
What do you want?
I don't know.
Listen,
Trout is fast. That'd be a good one.
Yeah, he could move a little bit.
Schwarber and Happ for Trout. Who says no? Throw in Robel Garcia.
I'm in. Bob in St. Charles, I am taking a call from a Bob without asking your permission. You're on the score, Bob.
Hey, how are you? Always a dangerous proposition, no doubt. So, my opinion is everybody wants to see the Cubs win. We love it. But I would rather see them struggle now at midseason while everybody else is not doing well in our division and work out whatever problems that we need to address, rather than watch them tailspin like they did at the end of last year.
Yeah, but it's not one or the other, though. You don't get to choose. It's
still tailspin.
Yes, just because they're playing badly now, it doesn't guarantee that this is just they're checking the box for their one sort of middling stretch. That's the problem with that logic. Well, they're just getting this out of the way. This is the bad thing, then it's over.
He is right that it's better to struggle while everyone else is struggling. Thank God for that. Otherwise, you could be underwater in the NL Central. This from the 618. Cubs suck. Cubs are great. Cubs suck again. We just ride the waves. It's baseball. It's a long season. Here's the thing. I understand if you're frustrated about Dan or I or anybody really riding the waves of this Cubs season, but when the season is predicated by 4 months of a front office talking about how this is a reckoning, it changes the dynamic of the season. It has to. You can't put that out there and not have the expectations and not have the wherewithal to follow through.
It is their playbook. We're going by their playbook. Urgency, production over reputation, production over pedigree, all the stuff that Theo said.
I would much rather go through a season and tell you over and over again that Kyle Schwarber will probably end up with a 115 weighted runs created plus.
Yeah.
I would rather go through the season.
Would you still bet on that?
115? Where's he at now? 98? Something like that?
You'd have to really pick it up.
It means two binges and the fall-offs can't be terrible. If you're willing to give me like 6-1 odds or something I'd probably pick that. Well, all right, is 6-1 too much? What would you actually put down on that? 4? Like 4-1?
On Kyle Schwarber by the end of the year being a 115
WRC plus. 115
WRC plus
kind of guy? Yeah, I think he's at, I was just looking through these, scrolling through. I wrote it down, 98.
Although
like
the schedule does relax a little bit. The quality of pitching they're going to see does relax a little bit.
It does. Oh, okay. So what the losses are losses regardless of how other teams are doing. That from the 815. Yes, that's absolutely true. I'm just talking about how you feel after each and every loss as a Cubs fan. I get that each win is as important as the next one and the last one. That's absolutely true. I'm just saying, for how it feels when you're getting punched in the face over and over again by double play after double play, it's a little bit better to do that when you're looking through the standings and seeing that the Brewers have lost, the Reds have lost, and the Cardinals have lost again. And by the way, this is why the Craig Kimbrel pickup for just cash was such a needed thing for the Cubs.
Let's get into that in just a couple minutes. The significance of the fact that Craig Kimbrel has joined the Cubs and will be ready to go for today's game in uniform, ready to come out there and fire. He was up to 96, we were told, by Alex Cohen in his last appearance. So we're going to talk about what that means, and we're going to thank Ozzie Guillen for giving us the best mispronunciation of Craig Kimbrel that we've gotten yet.
I couldn't do this.
It's coming up, Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.